Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to you. Oh, lift the world around me. Oh, let it fade away. Sing it now. Oh, Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to you. Lift the world around me. Oh, let it fade away. Why don't you raise your hands? Oh, Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to you. Let the world
around me
say it, buddy. Let it fade away. Oh, let it fade away.
Well, it's good to be in the house of God, isn't it? Amen. How many of you enjoyed service here last night? You appreciate the word of the Lord? It's good, wasn't it? Amen. Go ahead and give the Lord another hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer request. I know I have you standing up and sitting down a whole lot, but it's good for your circulation. So, bless the Lord. Amen. Sister Michelle Swafford says to please pray for my grandmother, May Manuel. She will be having heart surgery this coming Friday. Pray that she'll get through this all right and have a speedy recovery. So we just commit that to the Lord this morning. Ask God to be mindful of that situation. Sister Donna Pistole says, we want the church to pray for my mother, Sister Rachel Estep. She's not feeling well. Also, she broke her toe. She's in a lot of pain. Also, need the church to pray for our neighbor's nephew. His name is Chris. He has cancer, needs healing in his body. He's not getting along good at all back in the hospital. So we want to just commit that to the Lord also today. I want to pray for Brother Philip Priest and his family. His grandmother passed away. So let's commit that need unto the Lord that God would be mindful of them. I want to pray for Sister Dorothy Ayers and Tommy Ellis. Let's remember those folks in prayer today. Also, Sister Daisy Rice, she requests prayer. She's having some problems with her eyes. So we want to remember her as we pray today that the Lord would be mindful of her. Also, the Davis family, we just want to commit them unto the Lord and ask God to be with them during the loss of Brother Junior. We just pray that God would comfort their hearts and be with them during this time. He is more than able to help those folks. And He'll help us, everyone, if we'll let Him, won't He? You believe that with all your heart? If you have an unspoken prayer request this morning, something you'd like for this group to pray about, how many of you believe that we're serving a prayer-answering God? Are you committed to that He's got it all in control? Even though when it seems like things are out of control, as Brother Donnie said the other night, that just really stuck with me, sometimes we just got to trust Him. We just got to trust Him that He's got it all in control. And where better could you put your trust than in God Almighty? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's stand this morning before we pray. I want you to turn around, shake somebody's hand. Say, God bless you, my brother, my sister. Let's sing that again, Brother Harry. Jesus, draw me close. Closer, Lord. To you. God bless you, Brother Bobby. Love you, buddy. God bless you, little Brother Willis. Love you, buddy. God bless you, buddy. I love you, man. Appreciate you. God bless you, brother. Appreciate you. Jesus, draw me close. Closer, Lord. I desire to worship, and one more time with everything you got. Oh, yes, now. God bless you.
Let it fade away.
Oh, Jesus, draw me close. Closer, Lord, to you. I desire to worship. Stephen, are you? Is that you here again this morning? Is that Brother Stephen there, the pastor that prayed for us last night? Would you come and do that again for us this morning? Pray over these prayer requests. We appreciate our brother, don't we? Amen. Pastor from Uganda, we're glad to have you here, buddy. God bless you.
Amen. Yeah, God bless you. Before I pray, first I bring you greetings from Uganda, and the saints greeted you so much. Yeah, so we serve a miracle-working God, a great God that is so wonderful, and He loves to always to answer prayer. Yeah, so let us go before His throne and pray. Dear loving Father, Lord Jesus, You are great and You are wonderful, Lord. You created heaven and the earth and the things that are there in, O God. You created us, O Father, and You know everything about us, Lord. Father, here before me, there are prayer requests, Lord God. My Savior, Father, others need surgery, others need healing, others need encouragement, Lord God. I bring this prayer request before you, Lord. Because, Lord, we know that you care. That's why you say that we cast our burdens upon you. Because, Lord, you are able to carry them, Father. Lord God, may you meet each request that's presented here, Father. Lord, those who need surgery, touch them, Lord. Those who need healing, touch them, Lord. Those who need provision, Father, Lord God, may you provide for them. Father, even we pray, Lord God, for the word that's going to be preached, Lord God. May you come and bless us, Lord. Bless the preacher. Bless the congregation, Father. Lord God, that, Father, we may have another day of Pentecost here. We thank you and bless you. In Jesus' mighty name we do pray. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, brother. God bless you. Give our brother a nice hand this morning. Amen. I believe our brothers from Brazil, they're back with us again this morning. God bless you. Give these brothers a nice hand this morning. Certainly glad to have all of you with us. Let me make this announcement. It's on the screen, but just to remind you, the Happy Valley Church of Jesus Christ blood drive, August the 21st. If you haven't signed up, they want your blood. So do what you can in that regard. Brother Lenuel has a new CD that's available in the library, and some folks, a lot of people want to know who all was on it. I don't think there's a picture of anybody on the CD cover. Well, Kenneth and I made a guest appearance on that CD, and that's all I'm going to say about that. But if you'd like to pick one up, Brother Leonard has those available for you over in the library. It was recorded live at Brother Luke Gibson's, and some of the folks here at the church were down there for that service. And well, the Lord just blessed that. That was a special night, and the Spirit of the Lord came down. And if you get one of those, I hope it's a blessing in your home. Let's sing this. I know what lies ahead. Good things are lying ahead for you and I. It looks real bad right now, but great things lie ahead for you and I. Do you believe that with all your heart? Give the Lord another hand clap of praise this morning. This road ahead is straight and narrow and leads to a better home. It was made by Christ that day at Calvary while he suffered all alone. This road may lead over many high mountains, valleys dark and low, but I walk each day with sweet assurance I'll say
rough and rocky,
still I know one life.
road.
Oh,
I get so weary, and often my feet will stray.
Oh, but I like this
part. But a gentle hand still leads me on.
Yes, sir.
And helps me find my way as I climb each hill and cross each valley by His hand. I'm being
hallelujah.
Led.
This song on the radio earlier this morning, Brother Joel Kahn. I want you to lead this song. We'll help you on the course and the verses if we can. Saved by grace. That's a good song. And it ain't nothing but the truth. You're saved by grace. Do you appreciate the grace of God this morning? Let's help our brothers. He sings it this morning.
Well, saved by grace. I've been saved by grace.
Oh, yes, sir.
My name is in the book of life. My sins are washed away.
Yes, we're
saved by grace. I've been saved by grace.
Oh, sing it, Joel.
It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace. Well, I was alone in the darkness, I could not find my way.
Yes, Lord.
But Jesus shined a light on me, and He turned on my night today.
Oh, yes.
Saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. My name is in the book of life, and my sins are washed away. That city, the gates swing open wide. I'm gonna sing redemption's story of how He brought us to the other side. And when I reach that city and those gates swing open wide, I'm gonna sing redemption's story.
Oh, sing it!
How He brought us to the other side.
Saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. My name is in the book of life. My sins are washed away. Saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved. Saved by grace. My name is in the book of life. My sins are washed away. Saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace.
So yes, second verse.
And when I reach that city, the gates swing open wide, I'm gonna sing redemption's story
of how he brought me to the other side. And when I reach that city, those gates swing open wide. I'm gonna sing redemption's story of how he brought me to the other side.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Justin has this song. Brother Brandon, if you come onto the platform, be getting ready to sing after Brother Justin Reagan. We'll go right into the service. You can be seated this morning. Give our singers a nice hand as they get ready to sing for you.
Mighty hands are God.
Praise the Lord.
Till I die, and shall be till. love has been my theme and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall till I die.
We thank God for that today, don't we? Amen. You can be seated. We've got a baby to dedicate to the Lord today before we go into the Word. Brother Matthew and Sister Roseanne will bring their little baby boy. We'll dedicate him to the Lord today.
Bring them in. Bring them in. Bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in. Bring them in. Bring
Fathers, we stand before you today, Lord, with another miracle of life. How great it is, dear God. Dear Jesus, my brother and sister, they want to bring your little son into your presence. You've given them the awesome responsibility of being able to raise this little child in this most wicked, sinful day. And we know, Lord, much of what our children become will come from the influence of their parents, the way we train them, the way we teach them. We can cause them to have such great battles in life because of the wrong things we say or the wrong examples that we put before them. So I pray that you would help them, Lord, to be able to instruct him. Time should tarry that he would get old enough to be able to receive you and to know right from wrong. May the presence of God be able to move on his heart when he's young before the evil days would come. I pray for my sister, Lord, that you would help her, being the fifth gospel, a powerful gospel. The gospel of mother, that she would be able to influence his life. May he hear them sing songs of the cross and the blood and mercy. May he hear them reading the Bible. May an atmosphere be so created in their home that it'll be so godly that angels can visit their place. Lord Jesus, keep him from the evils and the diseases and the sicknesses of the day. We commit his life to you, dear Father, in Jesus' name. Well, I do always mess up stuff, don't I? Let's stand together if you would. Happy to be in the house of God together today. Amen. Presence of the Lord. Amen. Count it such an honor to be gathered together once again. Presence of our great King. How wonderful he is to us. Give us of his great abounding mercy and grace. We so thank him. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 4, if you would, again today. Matthew chapter 4, verse 8. We'll read verses 8 through 11. We'll pick up on the third temptation of the Lord Jesus when Satan has now offering him the kingdoms of the world. Again, the devil taketh him into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And as I mentioned to you last night, Satan is actually allowed to cause Jesus' vision to break into a very fast-paced supernatural unfolding, where that is, if though it's like this, one slide after another, after another, after another, of the glory of these kingdoms. Jesus is on this exceeding high mountain, so elevation is also causing the effect to be enhanced and magnified. He's been without food now for 40 days. No doubt he's dizzy. He's cold. all these things are now affecting him. And verse 9 says, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. What a change from the devil to angels. Amen. Our kids are starting school, some of them, I guess, this week, some maybe next, but we certainly want to remember them today, and not just today, but as the weeks go by. Some of our kids are in public school, some in homeschool, so I'm not sure if we need to pray for those in homeschool, if we pray for the kids or pray for the moms, but or maybe the dads, whoever it is that does it, but we certainly want to remember them. I can't imagine what our children face, what they go through, the opposition, the everything that they go through. So we certainly want to keep them before the Lord, that God would just bless and be with them. Anybody else have a need or request before the Lord today with uplifting of your hand? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we approach you today, dear Jesus, we're so grateful for your mercy and your grace that's been extended to us. Lord, I'm asking you now that you would just help us as we approach this part of the service, that you would anoint me, Lord Jesus. But what good would that do, Father, if you don't anoint the people to be able to receive? So I pray you'd anoint me and anoint them as well. Father, you see these prayer cloths that I have in my hands today, Lord. Sister Lynette, you see her need. Sister Sharon down in Kentucky, Lord, we're praying for her that you just bring complete healing and deliverance for her as well. Lord, as I mentioned, our children, some of them starting back to school this week, some of them attending public school, some of homeschool, different setups. But we're asking you, Father, for each of them, that you would help them, Lord. We know, dear God, we do not emphasize education, but we also know, Lord, in the civilization and the society that we live in, it's such an emphasis that we have to have it. But we pray that you would help our children in the temptations and the things that they face. We know, Lord God, that they're living in a terrible time. But I believe they can learn while they're young to deal with peer pressure. Lord Jesus, we know that you don't save us in this world and then put us in a bubble. But you save us and then you give us the power to be able to live a life before them. So I commit our children to you today, Father. May you just help them, dear God, in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the saints said,
amen.
Praise be to God. Before you're seated, every now and then I give you just a little bit of an update or something that we're doing overseas and some of the works that we've done. I just wanted to share a couple of things with you today. In the last couple of weeks of some things that we've done, we've been helping some other brothers here in the States who have had a burden on their heart to be able to bring and translate more of the messages into the Spanish language. We are been able to donate money toward that. Also to works in Africa, all different parts of Africa, Philippines, Guyana, different places around the world. So in the last couple of weeks, we've been able to donate $80,000 toward those works. Brother Jim, would you signify that by raising your hand, being the treasurer of the church? Thank you. Would you also signify, Brother Jim, that this is a drop in the bucket, proverbially speaking, over the years? Raise it however people can see it. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. And one day when you stand before the Lord Jesus, and he goes to doing all this list of all these things, and you're going to say, when did I do that? You mean I'm responsible? Well, you see, the way I read the Bible, it's a father's place to lay up for his children. I'm doing my best to make a reward, a big one. May I also say, most of this giving is not to white people. Amen. This $80,000 that we gave in the last 2 weeks was none of them to white churches. There may be some white Spanish people that have benefited by it, but most of it is people of color. People of color. I've been all over the world. I've been all over Africa. I have never preached in a white church in Africa. Never preached in a white one in India. There's one pastor that we support full time in the United States and done so for several years. He is a black man. Why are you saying that? Oh, I just like to scorch the devil every now and then. Just scorch him. And people have said that I'm a racist, and I think it's time for me to confess and just really come out and be open and plain and honest. I am. I am. I prefer one race above all the rest. The God race. God bless you. You may be seated. And of course we have checks and bank drafts and all that sort of thing to prove all these statements. Jesus must have been so weary, so weak, so exhausted mentally, physically, psychologically. Being high on the mountain, I imagine the breezes were blowing on this side of the mountain of where he was at, the only highest one there in and around Jerusalem. His mind must have been weary, his stomach gnawing with pain. His nerves were torn to pieces. He has not only the kingdoms of the world laying before him, but the salvation of millions of souls are in his hands. But as a man, he chooses to humble himself and submit himself in such a way. I hope you can, if you don't get anything else out of the service today, you can get this one thing. The Lord Jesus meets Satan in these challenges, not as a preacher, not even as the incarnate Son of God was the fullness of the Godhead bodily in him. But he meets Satan in these battles as the weakest Christian that would live thereafter. Now, if the Lord Jesus conquers Satan as a captain of the host, then everybody beneath him would have an excuse to fail. If Jesus meets Satan as a prophet, then everybody that is not a prophet beneath that call would have an excuse to say, you cannot relate to me because you defeated him as a prophet. If he met Satan as a preacher, then everybody that's not a preacher beneath that call would say, it's not fair. You met him as a preacher. It's not fair. How can you require this of me? I was never a preacher. But if Jesus met the devil and defeated the devil as the weakest Christian that would ever live on the face of the earth, then everybody from the weakest up would be without excuse. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. So he meets him in human weakness, in psychological weakness, in bodily weakness, perils in his body, perils in his mind. The temperature was cold, the elevation was high. His body was weak. He meets it in the natural realm, and now he's meeting it in the supernatural realm, to where that Satan is allowed to take Jesus in a moment of time and cause something supernaturally to happen to Jesus in such a way as, let me just background from last night a little, that he takes the glory of America, the glory of Paris, the glory of England, the glory of Zimbabwe, the glory of all the kingdoms of the world, and he stitches them all together as it was a fast-moving video in a moment of time and shows them the glory of the world, the kingdoms of the world. He carries them up in the future and shows those kingdoms which don't even yet exist. He moves into the realm of dimensional travel by which the Lord Jesus is able to be carried up under spiritual influence, and Satan bombards him with all this going on in a moment of time. Now, here's Satan also, by showing the Lord Jesus, hitting him at this weakest time in his life. Oh, but I'm so glad that the Lord was able to meet it this way. But he doesn't just offer him this now, but Satan now apparently feels this is the last time. Whether it's the culmination of the way he can see Jesus' attitude, who knows exactly what it is. But if you notice in this third temptation, Satan does not use any scripture. He does not say it is written or it is written. He does not use any scripture. This time he pulled back all of that. He comes with a brazen boldness which he's not used in the prior two examples. The other time it is written to give his angels charge over thee. It is written, but this time he doesn't even go that way. So he comes to the real point or the gist of everything that he's been leading up to. And that is worship me. Or fall down and worship before me. Now Satan is going to offer it in a simple approach, but with a very compound, complex thing behind it. Now he simply comes and he says, all these kingdoms of the world and all the glory of them I will give you. After all, you're supposed to be a king. You're going to be the son of David. You're going to be the Messiah. So I will give them to you just in a matter of moments. You can bypass the cross, bypass the suffering, bypass the humiliation, all the trouble of life. You know yourself what the Bible says about you, how you're going to be cast out, hated, rejected, and despised of men. So I will offer you basically what you want to accomplish without all of this suffering. It is absolutely not essential. You do not have to go this way to be a king. If you want to be the king of the earth, I will make a bargain with you. Are you interested, Jesus? And as a man, Jesus contemplates, I wouldn't have to suffer, I wouldn't have to be beaten, I wouldn't have to be whipped, I would not have to be ridiculed all the rest of my life. People will love me, people will accept me, people, everybody will stop making fun of me. My birth, nobody else will make fun of me from this point on. I'll be the king. So Satan promises him, I'll give you this kingdom, but no cross. No humiliation. And remember now, Satan is not offering him nothing in eternity. There's nothing in the millennium mentioned. There's nothing after time is over that is mentioned. You know why? Satan has nothing to offer on that side. Now if you will check every promise that the devil offers you and see where they lead to, he can offer you nothing beyond time. He can offer you nothing in heaven. He can offer you nothing in the streets of gold. He can offer you nothing in the millennium because he has nothing to offer. Praise be to God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Satan don't even have a back alley. If there is one in heaven, he don't even have one thing to offer you and I in the eighth day because he won't be there. He has nothing to offer you in the millennium because he won't be there. He will be bound down there in that pit by a chain of circumstance. Luke says it this way in Luke chapter 4 verse 6, and the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me to whomsoever I will give it. Boy, don't you know he loves to brag about what he's got. He loves to do the same thing to you and I today. Now, this temptation would eliminate the pain of the cross. It would eliminate all that Jesus knows that he's going to deal with. But remember one thing that Satan is trying to do. He's trying to get Jesus to live in the realm that Adam lived in, that Eve lived in, that Moses lived in, that Achan lived in. And that is the realm of selfishness. He wants to get Jesus to move beyond what the cross will require. And that is self-denial. Because this is one thing Satan cannot do. He cannot deny himself. It's just not in him. You understand that? It is not in Satan to operate this way. Now, the essence of sin is selfishness. Now, we know that sin is unbelief. But the essence of sin, what causes you and I, every time that we do wrong, whether it is lying or saying something wrong or doing something wrong or whatever it is, the essence of what causes us to do that is because we are selfish concerning that matter that we fell into. So Satan knew that from the very beginning. Why was it that Eve listened to the lie of the devil? Selfishness. She wanted to be able to partake of the forbidden fruit and to be wise like God. What caused Abraham, as we looked at it, what caused Abraham to risk his wife before Pharaoh and Abimelech? Selfishness. What caused Achan to take the wedge of gold in the Babylonian garment and cause the entire church of God to fail in a battle that God led them into? What caused that? Selfishness. So Satan is approaching the Lord Jesus in the realm of selfishness. You don't have to deny yourself. No cross, no suffering, no humiliation. All crown and glory and honor and praise and adoration. No death to self, which is the modern gospel of the day. Now, if you look at it, it's amazing when Satan is able to move even on the hearts of genuine people of God that still fight selfishness. Oh, you say, I'm a Christian, I don't fight it. There's not a person sitting in this building that don't fight selfishness. Maybe that baby I dedicated a while ago, but don't worry, he'll pick it up soon enough. It's in us. It's in the fall. It's part of what we inherited. Selfishness. Now come on, church, get with me. What's this in seven compound names of Jehovah? Brother Man said, it'd be a selfish thing if a man's heart isn't out to save his brother. There's something wrong with his heart, no matter what the condition. If his brother hates him, if his brother's against him, if his brother's tried everything he can to tear him down, yet that man's heart pulls for his brother. We can do that, right? No matter what people do to you, no matter what they say, no matter how much they run you down. Now, I'm pointing to you to the essence of sin. The reason that people cannot do this is because of selfishness. But you see, the Lord Jesus came to crucify selfishness and make a way by a new birth that we could too. Why did David commit adultery? Selfishness. Why did he have Uriah killed? Selfishness. Why did Moses do what he did? Selfishness. Why do you and I do what we do many times? Selfishness. Why do we get angry if somebody gets our parking spot out yonder? Selfishness. What bothers us if somebody gets our favorite spot on the pew and we can't get nothing out of the whole service? Selfishness. Now watch, you mean a brother hates you and is against you and tried everything he can to tear you down? And yet you still love him and pray for him? There's something in you that calls out, oh my brother,
You're wrong, but I want you to be saved. Let me say this, friend. If there is anybody in this world today that you don't want to see saved, please find a way to make your way to this altar before the service is over. I know of absolutely no one that I want to see perish. I don't know of one mortal that I want to see go to hell. If I do, I'll stop preaching right now and ask you all to pray for me. Notice this again in Enticing Spirits. Notice the title of the sermon. Enticing Spirits. Let old things, let old tempers and everything like that that keeps you down and say, God, I don't want that thing no more. I'm sick and tired of it. I'm ready today to discard it. I'm coming now, Lord. I want to get away from all my selfishness. If my brother doesn't treat me right, I'm going to get on Facebook and I'm going to call him a devil. I'll tell you. Oh, that's the Happy Valley version, ain't it? If my brother doesn't treat me right, I'll pray for him. Now, the key is not praying for him, but it's how you pray for him. God let his car blow up. God let his wife divorce him. God let him lose his job. May his nose fall off in the garbage disposal. May he break every one of his fingers off except for one just to aggravate him. God, I pray the judgment of God will come down on him. You ain't got the Holy Ghost. That's not the Spirit of Christ. It's the devil. Well, praise the Lord. Now, watch this. If my brother doesn't treat me right, I'll pray for him anyhow. If my daddy doesn't treat me right, I'll love him anyhow. If my wife doesn't treat me right, I'll divorce her and I'll get me a younger one because she's old and ugly anyhow. If my wife doesn't treat me right, or my husband, I'll go about humble before God. Lord have mercy, what a peculiar way to approach this. Your wife don't treat you right, or your husband don't treat you right, but the answer is that you go around humble before God. I thought they was the problem. You see why we needed a prophet with a message, don't you? Let's just face it, we don't know how to get out of this world. We don't know how to love people. We don't know how to do. We're always pointing at us. They treat me wrong. They treat me wrong. They treat me wrong. And what do? We exalt self instead of humbling ourselves so God can bring an answer. Well, praise be to God. Notice again now, enticing spirits. Now let us lay aside every weight. If you've got a temper, you got something about you that you talk when you ought not to talk. Oh, God, lay it there now. Lay it there. Watch the fire of the altar come down and take it away. Man, we need a bonfire broke loose in the message when it comes to this, don't we? Watch the love of God. Lick it up. Watch all that old selfishness. The way you've been. Your brothers have a bleep machine where you could just bleep me on certain parts. They don't have one back there, so I guess I'll just go ahead and read it. Watch all that old selfishness. The way you've been talking to your wife. The way you've been talking to your husband. Selfishness? The way you've been talking to your neighbor. The way you've talked to people in church. Lay it on the altar this morning. And the fire of God will come down and take it right away. And divine love will burn in its place. Somebody tell me to go on. Thank you. Now your voice is on tape that you said it. But you told me to, but you still said it. You didn't have to. Now notice he said Jesus, speaking of the Lord Jesus, has to have access to every room in the house, talking about our heart. Every compartment, all the little secret things of life. He's got to have access to every bit of it. Then he becomes Lord. What does he want to come in your heart for? It's to be your Lord. He's knocking at the door to be your Savior. And if you hold selfishness and pride and malice and all these things in your heart, he can't be Lord. Though you accept him in, he can't be Lord. Jesus can't be Lord of a selfish heart. Listen to this, children. You're talking about serious things. You see what pride and selfishness does? It shuts you out from the kingdom of God. Not just been married two or three times. Not blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Not calling God's prophet a liar. Selfishness and pride will shut you out of the kingdom of God the same way blasphemy will. This is serious. This is not something to play with. Oh my. I wonder sometime, he said, as we think, what will happen to this generation? And I wonder what he would say about it now if he'd preached to this generation now. Can I go on? Watch this, an image of Christ. Now remember, it's only the sick that demands attention. Service, just the sick. They demand attention. When you see a preacher, and may I not limit it to a preacher, but may I limit it to every church member that wants attention, I'm somebody. Just remember, there's a spiritual sick person. They're needing attention. Now, they're needing attention, and no doubt they done have a diagnosis of what kind of attention they need. They want this attention or that attention, public acknowledgement or attention from the pastor, attention from this and that and the other. But Brother Branham is going to tell us actually the kind of attention they need. They need the attention of the Spirit of God to give them something that'll take that attitude out of them. Oh my Lord. Now what they actually want is something that will appease that, but that's not the answer the prophet said they need. What they really need is something that'll take that attitude out, not just appease them. Mama. Notice, let me read this again. They need attention, but they need the attention of the Spirit of God to give them something that'll take that attitude out of them. Notice how he said this, so strange. And heal them from their selfishness. Wow. Heal them from selfishness. How do you get healed from selfishness? Now, all of us have been injured and hurt. I've got scars all over my hands and all over my body like you have from scratches and scrapes and whatever more that we've been through in life. And your body has a built-in mechanism to be able to heal itself and close up a wound and all. And we've had our souls healed by the power of redemption. So now we're talking about being healed from selfishness, not just delivered. But actually heal. So the selfishness, there is an approach or an attitude of selfishness which is actually a sickness. So we're not just casting a devil out of somebody and the devil's going to leave them and then they'll be healed. But it is a sickness. Give them something that'll take that attitude out of them and heal them from their selfishness and big ideas and big me and little you. The Holy Ghost makes us all the same. There ain't no big preachers in this message and little preachers in this message and big singers and little singers. We're all just children of God. That's why we are all just children of God. But you realize that many folks, I believe with all of my heart, around our message need a healing. Not so much in a prayer line. They don't necessarily need their soul healed, but they need a healing of selfishness. And this is what Satan is offering to Jesus. Go in this approach. Think of yourself first. You. Look, Jesus, think about you. What about you? You're thinking about others. You're thinking about the will of God. You're thinking about the program of God. What about you? And naturally, that's the way we're made. Who did you feed before you come to church today? You or me? Did you feed you or your wife, Brother Andy? Did you feed you or your wife, Brother Jim? Who'd you feed? Why? It's built in us. It's built in us. This is why that our makeup feeds on selfishness. And Jesus was so much a man, he had to experience selfishness. So for a few moments, Jesus thought about Jesus. I wonder if we really realize how human he was. Was it a moment? Was it 5 minutes? Was it 10? Who knows how long it was? But first, say it this way. For a few moments of time, Jesus didn't think about Gabriel. Jesus did not think about Wormwood. Jesus didn't think about Donnie, about Gene, about Wes. Jesus didn't think about none of us. Jesus thought about Jesus. Listen, Brother Bram says, the Holy Spirit can't deal with you when you got prejudice and selfishness. Now, whether it's prejudice by color, whether it's prejudice by doctrine, prejudice by the size of your church, or prejudice by feeling like you're more illuminated than any other church in the message, prejudice comes in all shapes and forms and sizes. Don't you see why Satan wants to get us on this exclusive something? That we've got something special above every other message church? As long as I'm the pastor of this church, I'm going to slay that devil. I'm going to keep it before you. We are only one of many. This ministry here is only one of many, and may I say a very small one compared to many that are around the world. Our church is not some super something other than everybody else is supposed to look to. That is a lie from the pits of hell. Donnie Reagan's ministry, Terry Horn, Darrell Ward, and the rest of these men, we are not the example for the people of the message. We're only one little pebble among many great stones. It is selfishness. It is prejudice. Watch this. In the marriage of the Lamb, the prophet said, so I think that's the way of preaching the gospel, if it don't stir you up a little bit and feel your spiritual gastronomics and make you a little bit sick to examine yourself of the Bible. See if that old temper and selfishness and ungodliness and love of the world and television and things that night and leaving church set empty and pews set empty when you ought to be out there like Jesus. You got his spirit in you trying to get everybody in the country to come to your church and receive Christ. Do you know that Brother Branham told us in 1956, 55, 56, that one thing that got Ahab in trouble was because his wife didn't want him to attend church on Wednesday night. Notice again, he says in communion, we want to keep ourselves clean from selfishness. Some of you would die before you'd smoke a cigarette. You can't even stand to get around where people smoke some because you feel dirty and filthy. You'd never press a whiskey bottle to your lips or a can of beer. But there's more to being clean from than smoking and that sort of thing. We need to clean ourselves from selfishness. Notice he said we want to keep ourselves clean. From selfishness, keep our sin, our lives clean from the things of the world that will not be spotted with that. We want to be ready for the rapture. So this temptation of the Lord Jesus is focusing on the essence of sin, which is selfishness. And for a few moments now, Jesus begins to ponder. Let me project it to you this way. Maybe he ran his hand over his side, down his back, thinking, according to God's way, my back will be torn to pieces. Let's just say that he ran his hand upon the side of his face where his beard was. He said, according to God's way, they'll reach up and grab the hold to my beard and pull handfuls of it out. Maybe he ran his hand across the rest of his face and said, according to God's way, they'll spit on my face. Is this what I want? But from this offer that Satan is offering me, I can go from here to here. I eliminate the beard plucking. I eliminate all the spit. I eliminate all the ridicule, all the ones making fun of me, because he says he'll give me the kingdom of the world, and I'll get it right now. I mean, I don't have to wait 2,000 years. I don't have to wait for a throne. I go from here to here in a matter of minutes. And for a few moments, Jesus thought about Jesus. Do I really want to do this? Can I take this? I'm so glad when Jesus thought about Jesus that his thoughts about Jesus was not the lingering thoughts. That his thoughts were about me, Brother Tom, and about you. So the next time you go to thinking about you, so-and-so did this to me, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, maybe you ought to go back to Jesus on the mountain and think about, wait a minute, what if Jesus would have thought about himself? What if Jesus would have kept himself there? And, well, he's the one, he's going to die, and this is not fair. This ain't fair, and that ain't fair, and it ain't right. You know, how come I have to go through this, and how come I have to go through that? You know what you're doing? You're thinking about yourself. Instead of thinking, God, is this your will? God, is this what you want? I don't want this. I don't want to go that. That's what I'm talking about. Selfishness. Of course, Satan by now already is realizing this could be him. This could be him. Watch in Matthew chapter 4, verse 9. And he saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now here's the price in the temptation. Every time Satan offers you or I something, there's always a price for what he's offering us. He's never giving you anything free of charge. I don't care how much he wants to tell you it's free. There's always a cost. And it ain't going to cost him. It's going to cost you. And maybe your wife, your children, your church, whatever more. Whenever you yield to a temptation, there is a price. Now here Jesus finally hears the price. Going from here to here. Versus coming around here and waiting 2,000 years. And all this stuff that you get over here to become king. So here's the price. All you have to do is fall down before me. The disciples aren't here. Nobody will ever even know it. The church is not here. The priest ain't here. The preacher ain't here. Ain't nobody here but me and you. And do you think that blabber mouth the devil's going to keep that a secret? You heard me say it before. He's the type of a guy that'll talk you into robbing the bank and call the cops on you while you're doing it. Jesus wouldn't have got up off of his knee before every devil out of hell would have known it. Caiaphas would have known it. It would have been known. Oh, yes, sir. It would have been known around the world from the cohorts of the abyss. They would have been able to know all of the world, and the kingdoms of the world would have submitted to the Lord Jesus, and he would have been exalted to the throne and the king of the earth without a bride. Without any overcomers, and generation after generation, they would have died, and the book of life would have remained in the hands of Almighty God. So here is the price. So the price that Satan makes in this conjecture is that you are rewarded by doing wrong. You are rewarded by doing wrong. So you do wrong and you're rewarded. Yes. Ma, you're rewarded. That this is part of it. This is the way he projects it. Any price that you have to trade off of God's word, you're going to be the loser, friend. Now watch, he says, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now notice the way this is written here. In the Eastern method of acknowledging the superiority of a person. So by Jesus bowing down before him, not so much that Satan was saying, all right, now worship me as God. You worship me. Oh, Lucifer. Oh, Satan, I worship you. Oh, no. All he's asking is for Jesus to bow down. And he can worship God, that's okay. But acknowledge that Satan is superior. Do you understand what this is? It is Michael and Lucifer once again. Praise be to God. Do you understand what's going on right now in Laodicea? It is Michael and Lucifer once again. Do you understand the warfare against the bride? Who's bringing the warfare against the bride? The church. What is it? Michael and Lucifer once again. What will it be when he ascends upon the mountain fighting for the children of Israel? It will be Michael and Lucifer once again. What you have to do. I'm not asking you to pray to me. I'm not asking you. Just give me superiority. You say, that devil, how would he ever do that? The same way he does you. When he tries to convince you, his weapons are greater than yours. Do you understand? When you believe and suggest that Satan's power, his kingdom, his darkness is greater than what God has given you in this age, you are giving him superiority over the word of God. Oh, you're not bound into it. Satan, you're a God. Satan, you're a God. But whenever you say, oh, the devil's power is harder than the Holy Ghost. What? The devil's kingdom is greater than the kingdom of God you're worshiping. Amen. Oh, you're worshiping God, but you're falling down before him and giving him superiority. You are telling him, you're greater than me. I can't do this. I can't overcome this. I just can't. You're greater than me. You are falling before him. And giving him superiority in your life. When my Bible tells me greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Satan knows most of you will never fall before him. You'll never make a hexagon or a pentagram on the ground and never offer a goat. You'll never offer a sacrifice. He ain't even going to try you that way. But he'll try to wear you out with sickness and distress and worry and family problems and financial problems and church problems and all kinds of problems. And then get you to say, oh, I can't take it no more. I can't do it no more. I just don't know what to do anymore. I'm at my wit's end. I don't think I'll go back. I can't live this. Don't you know what you're doing? You're bowing before Satan again. You're not worshiping him as God, but you're saying he's superior over you. You're saying he's superior over this Bible. He's superior over this message. Let me just level the ground right now before I go any farther. It is absolutely, totally impossible for Satan to make you do one thing. You are giving him power that he does not have. And you are scared to death of a defeated enemy. I feel like having church. Oh. Now watch the Lord Jesus. In verse 10, then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan. What do you need, sister?
Jesus in my heart, but I want him.
Jesus. Father, you see the need of our sister now. She's got you in her heart, she says, Lord, but she wants you closer. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, through your presence and care, grant it to her, Father God. You believe him. Hallelujah. Now Now watch, Satan offers Jesus this. Now watch it, Jesus reply. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence! Satan. First time Jesus has referred to him in a personal way. There is degrees of offense and defense. There is degrees. Notice the first two times when Jesus responds to the word, he responds to the word. But this, he's crossed the line. He does not call him Lucifer. He does not call him devil. He does not call him Satan in the first two attacks. But this attack demands personal attention. Hallelujah. Oh. I think sometimes our righteous indignation needs to get built up. I ain't talking about at the pastor. Some of you do good getting mad at the pastor. Some of you do real good getting mad at the deacons and mad at your wife. You ought to get mad at the devil. The devil's stealing your joy. The devil's stealing your peace. The devil's stealing your children. The devil's stealing all this around you. And you sit around passive and let him get by with it. Don't get mad at the preacher. Don't get mad at your wife. Get mad at the devil. He's the one that's doing it to you. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan. A great temptation must be withstood with great resolution. I'm sick of your mouth. You hear me? I'm sick of you, Satan. I know who you are. I know who you are. Sometimes you need to acknowledge them thoughts going through your mind. Them thoughts, well, you ain't a child of God. You ain't this other. Sometimes you need to call his name and say, Satan, I recognize who you are. And you are a liar and the father of the lie. Amen. What's the power over the temptation? How does it come? By submission. Jesus didn't drag out his computer and his laptop and put together 47 pages of quotes. I want you to notice this temptation here. Notice where it comes from. He withstands Satan. And he comes against him with power. He demonstrates the power of God in the weakest Christian's life to defeat Satan upon what? Gifts, emotion, talking in tongues? The Word of God. Friends, there is power in separation. There is power in separation. You'll never get overcome your trials and your tests and the things and the sins as long as you're fooling with them and playing with them. Separation from evil gives you power over evil. Mixing evil with righteousness weakens righteousness. And we are living in an age of constant mixture. Mix this, mix that, mix this, mix that. I say that is a lie of the devil. If we want power in this day, we've got to separate ourselves. I ain't talking about just from the world. I'm talking about from yourself. Of course, people don't like the idea of separation. They want mixers. Put everybody in one big mixing bowl. Mix it all up. Mix it up for hell, fire, and tribulations where they're heading. Hallelujah. Get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. He overcomes all three of these temptations from one Old Testament book. The book of Deuteronomy. Like David standing there flinging his sling when he's got five smooth stones down in his pouch. But David reaches down there and grabs a hold to one, the book of Deuteronomy, and he defeats the devil out of that one book. If one book with simple three passages of scripture would overcome this temptation right here, which is nothing like any of us have ever went through anyhow. If it would do that, what in the name of Almighty God would an entire Bible, 1,000 tapes, sermons preached all around the world, what would that do to empower you and I as believers to overcome the devil? What am I speaking to you about, children? Resisting temptation. What does he do? He takes up his shield. Takes up his shield. Takes his sword. And he said, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. How did he know which one of these scriptures in Deuteronomy would work? Why not take Genesis 1:1? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Why not use that one? That's a wonderful scripture. What about using the one where God said, let us make man in our own image, and after the image of God made him, after the likeness of God made him, male and female created he them. Isn't that a wonderful scripture? What about Genesis 3:15 that he would send the serpent bruiser? Why not use that one? That's a wonderful scripture. Why not use Deuteronomy 18:15? Behold, the Lord your God shall raise up a prophet like unto me. Why not Zechariah 12:6, the man whose name is the branch? What about Haggai 2:7, the man who is the desire of the nations? What about Psalms 22:1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? All of those scriptures are pertaining to him. But he not only had word, he had leadership to know what scripture to use. Now watch him just strip him down. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. You are a creature, and may I add, a creature of time. And I do not believe in worshiping creatures or creation, which Paul said in the book of Romans that they would do in the last days. Worship the creature more than the creator. But Daryl said to me the other day, he preached a sermon here just a week or so ago about selfies. And every year there's a dictionary where in the United States and different parts of the world, and they add a new word, a word of emphasis, you know. And they pick one for the United States, and then they pick one for different parts of the world. But the one word they used for America and different parts of the world was the word selfie. Because people are getting so tied up on their self, taking pictures of the self, and now they got therapy for people that are so involved in selfies. They cannot keep from taking pictures of themselves. And one of the therapy, the way they start out with the therapy of sending these people through the therapy of selfies is being able to get them to not make a picture of themselves for 30 minutes. And then they move it up for an hour. I'll tell you one thing, I'm not sure what they see about their self, but I don't see it in myself. Oh, goodness, what I see in myself is the greatest enemy that I've got. What I see in myself is the person who's kept me from getting close to God. The person who has hindered me my life has been my selfie. What is it, friend? It's an age of self-love. It is an age when people are so wrapped up in themselves. Don't you see what that testifies to? The headship of Satan. Ready to come to the body because that's the way he is. He don't love his people. He don't love his demons. He's the only one that he's concerned about. If Satan's got an iPhone, he's loaded her down with selfies, I guarantee you. Imagine out of hell every day. Here comes these selfies, all these demons. Them demons saying, good Lord, I get so sick and tired of seeing this. Selfies of the devil. Selfies of the devil. Here he's got one from this angle and one from that angle. He's frowning. He's smiling. He's got all this kind of... Why? Because everything is built around him. He will sit in the temple of God showing himself that he is God. So you can imagine why sermons like this go so well in this age. Living in an age of selfie, and I'm saying you better deny yourself if you want to go to heaven. And people just click out of curiosity and go over halfway in the sermon, you know, and say, dear Lord, how do them poor people stand that guy? Oh, that's a marvel to me as well, but I can't believe here we are. We're teaching in our church, be everything you could be. Ma, do this and do all of that. And I'm saying, you better pray about all that. I told you last night, some of you didn't like it, but I'm going to say it again. Some of you tell your kids, oh, you can be the best at this, and you can do this and that and the other, and you're feeding a bunch of lies into their mind. First of all, how do you know they can be the best when there's 8 million kids out there that's just like yours is even better? You're telling them a lie. You won't tell them there's a Santa Claus, and you shouldn't, but you'll tell them they can be the best at this and the best at that, and somehow you're lying to them kids. And you'll give them an attitude, oh, Brother Donnie, they need help, they need help, they need help to learn how to die. They don't need help to build up their ego, build up self, 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 self. What are you doing to them kids? But Brother Donnie, if we don't tell our kids how great they are and how wonderful they are, they'll never amount to nothing. That is a lie. I'm a living example standing before you today. I was never encouraged that I'd be anything. As a matter of fact, I was told I'd be nothing. That's right. Stupid. Ignorant. That's right. That I'd never amount to anything. When I started preaching in Pentecost, preachers would get me up in the church after I preached that day and say, if you're a preacher, the woods is full of them. Right. Self-esteem, ego, ambition, trash heap. But there's something in me bigger than the words of my daddy. There's something in me bigger than the words of Pentecostal preachers. You'll never amount to nothing, boy. You're not this, you're not that, the other. All I knew is there's something inside of me bigger than I'd heard all of my life. And I refuse to let that get me down. I refuse to let that. But I can tell you of others who are constantly uplifted, uplifted, uplifted by the parents. Uplifted, uplifted, uplifted by the parents. Don't you see what you're doing? You're feeding that spirit that's on that child. You'll never overcome that by giving that spirit what it wants. You've got to help that child to grow up. And you're not doing it by feeding it. Well, glory. You mean, Brother Donnie, you never graduated the top of your class? I never graduated. You're kidding me. I'm not. You mean you didn't graduate kindergarten? They didn't graduate kindergarten when I went. But now we graduate kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, in between grades, summer school class, graduate, graduate, graduate. My Lord, my grandkids have had more graduation than I've had, and I'm 58 years old. You're laughing at me, but I want you to think, what's that doing to them? But you parents have got it in your mind. That's what you've got to do to make them better Christians. Really? And where is that example in the scripture and the message of the hour? You've accepted a bunch of communism and socialism into your mind of what you think you've got to make them kids train them up in the way they should go. Not the way you think they ought to go, and then have me to change them once they get saved. Train them up the way they should go, in the way of humility, not arrogance and pride. Well, no doubt that was for some of the Norwegians, or maybe for some of the folks down in Brazil, or some of the folks from over in Africa, because I know it wasn't for none of you little darlings here. So he looks right at him and he says, Satan. Do you understand a man or woman who has authority and know their position? It's not how loud you scream. I've been given by Almighty God the authority to cast out devils. I don't even have to raise my voice. I could whisper to that devil. And if your faith in mine is right, he'll leave. But because some of you think it's the volume of my voice Sometimes I'll only deafen you. That's for your face. It ain't for mine. Because I know all I have to do is speak to Him. And if the conditions are right, He will leave. Authority is not volume. Authority is not so loud that everybody's sitting there shaking and quivering, not under the power of God, but because the speakers are so loud. That is not authority. Authority is knowing who you are, knowing you've been anointed by the presence of God, and you're not going to back up. And you as Jesus, you imagine when this come out of His mouth saying that, oh no, this ain't David, this ain't Moses, this ain't Achan, this ain't Eve, this ain't Adam. Satan! Whatever we worship is the God we serve. And if you feel more passion and more movement in your being toward money than you do God, that is your God. I can preach on the cross, some of you never cry. I can preach on the resurrection, you never shout. I can preach on the second coming of the Lord, you never move. But if the dollar lost 3/4 of its amount today while we were in church and you read that after church on your smartphone and you said, dear God, I'm broke. There's your God. Oh no. What are you doing? It's connected so deep to your emotions you fall all to pieces. The cross never moved you. The resurrection never moved you. The come of the Lord never moved you, but your money moves you. Some of you are moved by your kids playing ball games. You're moved by this and that and the other. Whatever you worship, that is your God. And Jesus said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. Matthew chapter 4, verse 11. I really like this verse. Then the devil leaveth him. I don't know about you, I need a lot of this verse 11 in my life. Now Jesus never had a devil and the devil wasn't in him, but the devil just left away from where he was. He couldn't handle that word. I mean, it finally reached a place in amazing. The first temptation, the devil never left. Second temptation, the devil never left. But there must have been a determination. There must have been a sound in his voice. There must have been something there that Satan said, I'm out of here. His first assault is for his appetite, the lust of the flesh. Second assault, glory, pride, lust of the eyes. Third assault, ambition, the pride of life. Jesus met all three with the word. Now, let me just take just a couple minutes. Submission empowers us to resist Satan's lies. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. And after 40 days, he will think about or pray about. Happy Valley Church, do you believe this scripture is the word of God? No ifs, no ands, no perhaps, no commas. If we will submit ourselves to God and resist the devil, this is God's promise. He will flee. I don't care, brothers, what he's tempting you to do. If you will resist him and resist him and resist him, it is God's word. You don't have to flee. He will. Oh, but you say this smoking, this drinking, I can't do it. You're believing a lie of the devil. He is tempting you and tempting you and tempting you, and he is wearing out your resistance. Submission empowers us. As I was sitting studying yesterday, and the Lord God came to where I was, and he spoke these words to me. Submission empowers to resist. The word is a military term. The word that James uses, submit yourselves. The word is a military term. That means get into your proper rank. So if you're a buck private, quit trying to be the pastor. This is one reason, friends, we can't overcome. We're not in our place. You second-guess the prophets, you second-guess the preachers, you second-guess everything going on. Why? It's because you have exalted yourself to a position above God's generals. In your thinking, you know how to run a church better than God called men do. And then you wonder why you can't overcome. You are empowered by submission. Not submission to me. Submission to God. So get into your proper rank. So imagine a guy goes down to the office tomorrow and he wants to join up. Well, they tell him to report over Camp Lejeune or wherever they do all this training and stuff. You know, man, he walks in, all right, guys, here I am. I want to start out. I want to be a 5-star general. Matter of fact, I think I'll be advisor to President Obama. I'll tell you one thing. I want to go over to Iraq. I'm going to show them how a Tennessee boy will clean up this mess. Let me out of there, hillbilly. I may walk one-sided because I'm on them hills down there, but I know how to straighten out the world's problems. And you imagine that sergeant as he looks at you and he say, I'm going to make you look like cat food. I love getting people like you. Oh, his toenails go to turning up in his toes. And he said, I can't wait. And you've got them pretty curls hanging down there that was so attractive to the girls. Come in with your pink tennis shoes on and your gold chains. And you say, I want to be in the Marines. Come on in. And then you walk out, tell you one thing, I think the Army would look better if we all wore pink tennis shoes. And I believe one thing, I believe the men would fight better if they had long hair. And I believe... By the time you get out of solitary, you might think twice before you open that thing and run it wide open. Submission! How did Jesus overcome this? Remember, as the weakest Christian. But being Jehovah's servant, Satan is trying to pull him out of Jehovah's servant post of duty in his first temptation. Command these stones to be made bread. Don't you see what he's trying to do? Break rank. Now he's trying to get him to move out of servant position and servant attitude back into logos. Let's stand. Unconditional surrender is the only way to complete victory. Unconditional surrender is the only way. Jesus showed us this example. This is how Jesus fought. Remember I told you last night? The Celtics, the Bithynians, the Scythians, the Romans, the Greeks. But especially with the Romans. They wanted to train every soldier, but they would fight the same. So whether you've seen 1 or 10 or 50 or 5,000 Roman soldiers, you'd know who they were by the way they fought. They were not trained in the mentality of being soldiers and heroes on the battlefield. They wanted to live. Because they would give them a large salary and a large tract of land if they lived when the war was over. So they weren't worried about a Medal of Honor, so to speak. They weren't worried about having a big name. They wanted to live. That's the way I am. I want to survive. Praise God. I'll get my reward after some time else. I want to come through this war on the other side. So whether you saw one, if one Roman soldier was out there by himself and he was bushwhacked and he got tied back there, if there was 1 or 5,000, you knew that man was a Roman by the way that he fought. They had their door, which was called their shield, 2 by 6 foot. Those of you who watch Ben-Hur and you watch the different ones of the Roman soldiers fighting, it's contrary to history, the way Hollywood projects them. They do not come out like this and open it up and use the sword, the shield as decoration. They stayed behind their door. And only when they would peep from around their door and see the head of the enemy come around would they move and jab their enemy. Because they knew that door, as they called it, was their protection. Maybe it reminds you that our Lord Jesus said, I am the door. He is your door. Stay behind him. So Jesus totally submitted to God the Father. And this is the way overcome. Isn't it amazing? Jesus didn't argue with the devil. He doesn't debate with him. I'll tell you one thing, Satan. Glory to God. I'm the Word. Don't you know this, devil? You're going to hell. I created you. You ain't nothing but a... Sit down, devil. I'm going to preach you a sermon. How much of our time in life have we wasted by talking to him? And at the end of the day, he was still the devil, and you were still a son of God, or daughter of God. And what did you do? Wasted the entire day. Arguing and fussing with the biggest fusser that's ever been. Did you convince him? At the end of the day, did you make an altar call and led the devil to repentance? Did you baptize him? I missed it if you did. You wasted your time. Stay with the Word. Stay your place. Resist him and he will flee. Amen. And the word flee is to run with caution to get away for your life. Now if I'd have said that in a charismatic church this morning, they'd been hanging off the chandeliers. And y'all standing there looking at me. Don't you believe this? Do you believe that's what God's Word says? Oh, that devil's been aggravating me all day. Because you let him. According to the Word of God, submit yourself to God and resist the devil and he will run for his life. Brother Brad, maybe we should kind of show these people the way they let Satan intimidate them. But in their mind, the way they think that he is. Instead of the way God's Word says he is. Tell us, big boy. You're defeated. You're going to hell. The Bible says he goes forth as a roaring lion. But to a real son of God, instead of being like that or daughter of God, he is... Which one you believe he is. We've got a baptism today. Let them come and prepare for that. So how are you going to walk out of here today? Like this big, ferocious king of the jungle. Or meow. Meow. Shall we not acknowledge he's a great enemy? Absolutely. Shall we not acknowledge he's got a position? Sure. But also acknowledge when you do the word of God, instead of him being like that, he's like this. Why would that lion run from me? And I've seen them in Africa, not in the Knoxville Zoo. I told you years ago, me and Carol was in South Africa, and they put us in a game reserve, and it was nighttime when we got there, so we didn't know how close we was to all this stuff. So 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, we're awakened by this sound. Vroom, vroom, vroom. And all of a sudden, Carol is plastered to me. You thought somebody super glued us. The only reason I hadn't plastered myself to her was there wasn't enough room. I'm sick and tired of you Christians letting this devil bluff you. He stole your joy. He stole your peace. He stole your children. Not because he has rights. Because he's as a lion. You've seen the little Lion King. Those of you that's got kids. No doubt many times. Grandkids. And when the little lion is there and he don't know that his daddy's behind him. And he goes. But his daddy's behind him. And whenever he roars, his daddy goes, "Roar!" And this little guy's looking at himself. Well, that's the way you and I may be. We may take that word and we're like, "Meow, meow," but it ain't my voice that the devil hears. I don't want it to be your voice or your voice, Brother Ryan. We want it to be the voice of the word. Oh, we may hear our human voice and it's trembling and quivering. But the devil ain't hearing the voice of Wes or the voice of Donnie. He hears the voice of the original Lion King. Hallelujah! Children, there is no temptation that you cannot overcome. There is not. I felt like starting a revival. Hey, he's a God. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, I pray, Lord, through these simple illustrations today, something would be said or given to these people that would help them to meet the challenge of this day. No doubt if we would have lived in the first century, the year was, we'll say 96, 97. The emperor is Domitian. He is now sending her children to the Colosseum. Nero loved gardens, so we're told. And he loved to get out in the darkness of the night and walk through his garden. We were also told they would take Christians filled with the Holy Ghost, wrap them in a certain type of cloth, pour tar, pitch, all over their bodies. And they would use them in human torches as Nero would walk through his garden. Our brothers and sisters, how could they have ever faced such a death? They were anointed. They were anointed. Lord Jesus, we believe we're anointed to stand up this day and face the hell that we have to go through. But Lord, we don't want to be survivors. We want to be overcomers. It may have looked like to the world, those Christians lost. They didn't lose. They won. It sowed seed and buried it in the ground. And we're that harvest cycle of what was sown in them. Teach us how to fight, Lord Jesus. Teach us submission is what empowers us to overcome. Teach us, Lord. Forgive me, Father. I've wasted much time arguing and debating and fussing with the devil. Forgive me, Lord. Teach me how to fight. I just say your word. Don't argue with him. People don't know why I don't get on these websites and spend a lot of time arguing, debating, and fussing. There's no need to. That's the devil that does that to us. Strengthen your children today, Lord. By this time, church is over in Norway. Brother Ryerson, different ones are streaming. In the Netherlands, different parts of Africa. May you not just move for us today, but Lord God, may you go down there where they are. And those that will never even hear this service, may you go to your bride around the world. May you strengthen her, Lord. Teach us, Lord God. Give us strength, Father. In Jesus' name. Praise God. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Lord Jesus.
This is Josiah Green. He's come to take the name of the Lord Jesus in baptism. Let's pray with him. Dear Lord, every time I see someone come so young, I always wonder, do they really have a full understanding of what they're actually doing? And undoubtedly, they can't completely get it. But I pray for this little soul here, dear Lord. I pray that you would open his eyes, give him a revelation of exactly what's going on. I pray that this be the only time he ever do this, because after this dedication, he walks on in your promise, which means at a young age, that he walks on up, gets up from this baptism, he walks on to the baptism of the Holy Ghost and spends the rest of his days living for you. Dear Lord, I find it so wonderful that he could be in a church that still believes these kind of things. We still believe in the Holy Ghost. We still believe in power of baptism. We still believe in a real genuine death to self. Thank you for it, Lord. I pray for my little brother that you help him to see it for the rest of his days and walk on in your word to a rapture. We know that you are the only person capable in this hour to hold someone from the youth until to adulthood and all the way through. So we lean to you, dear Lord. I pray for him now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask these things and we believe and know that it's possible. Lord Josiah, I baptize you now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. Praise be to God. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Come to your ranks, soldiers. Find your place. If you're a tailor peeler, peel them. If you're a suit maker, make it. If you're a general, be a faithful one. If you reload the guns, if you're in reconnaissance, whatever you're at, do it. Well, Brother Donnie, I'm a sister. I just pray. You sounded as if though that was little. When the weakest Christian gets down on them knees to pray, every devil in hell trembles. Sisters, don't let Satan convince you ain't got something you can do, because you do. And that big mighty roaring lion comes going, you just say, poof. Boo, devil. Boo, devil. Boo, devil. The Bible don't say he was a lion, but he's as a lion, which means he's an impersonator. Well, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I promised him that I would serve him till I die. I'm on battlefield for my Lord. Sing it now. Oh, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord.
sinner too. I heard a voice from heaven saying there is work. I took the master's hand. I was drafted in this band. Now I'm on battlefield for my Lord. Come on, children, sing it now. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I promised him that I would serve him till I die. Now I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I left my friends and kindred, bound for the promised land, the grace of God upon me, the Bible in my hand, and distant lands I trod. Christ, sinner, come to God, and I'm on battlefield for my Lord. Come on, soldiers, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Lord, I'll serve you till I die, and I'm on battlefield for my Lord. Oh, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I promised him that I would serve him till I die. Now I'm on battlefield for my Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise be to God. We worship you, Lord. When you give your heart to God, you want to take your hands and use them for His honor. When you give your feet to God, you used to dance out there and rock and roll. Now you want to give them feet for the Lord. We're going to sing it again, and I want you to just kind of stomp them feet and clap them hands. Why? They belong to Jesus. Well, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Well, I promised him that I'm going to serve him till I die, and I'm heard. Oh, for my Lord. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Jesus! Oh, praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! I don't know about you, I don't want to be in the kitchen back there and cut my finger and have to go to the med center. Call 911 because you got a headache. Come on, soldiers. Buckle on your armor. Let's fight. This is our time. We are the actors of the scene. This is the end of the Father's drama. The parts have been already handed out. The play is already in action. We're the last ones on the scene. The curtain is fixing to be drawn for the last scene, and the rapture's fixing to take place. Let's do our part. Let's fight faithfully. Pressing on. I'm gonna keep pressing on. Oh, pressing on. I'm gonna keep pressing on to the higher calling of my Lord. Let's do the verse now. Oh, Satan tries to stop me. Turn me aside. So while there's no need for you to go on, no need to try. Even even if there was a rapture, you'd never make it in. Oh, but I just say, Satan, you're a lying cat again. Meow, meow, meow. I'm gonna keep pressing. By the grace of God, I'm pressing on. Yeah, pressing on to the higher calling of my Lord. Glory! Sing it, church. I'm gonna keep pressing on. On and on and on. Pressing. God. Hallelujah. God bless you, saints. We're going to let you go. Remember, be having the memorial service of Brother Junior Davis here Wednesday night. We certainly thank God for a brother, a life among us that was an overcomer.
Amen.
Yes, we thank God for it. I want you to remember that. We want to continue to pray for the family, that God will just be with them and strengthen them and help them. Other needs in the church as well, folks that are sick. We just keep these things before God, knowing that our great Lion of the tribe of Judah will help us overcome. Brother Ram says it like this in 1965. He said, I look around, the waves is tossing the boat. And he said, they're coming up over the side. And I've been given charge of the boat. And I think, will we make it? Will we make it? And he said, we'll crest every wave. But the key is, you must abide in the ship. You love him with all your heart. I feel sorry for the devil if he attacks any of y'all within the next hour or so. After that, the anointing will be wore off and you'll be pretty vulnerable. But boy, if he attacks any of you in the next 15 or minutes or so, he's going to be in a mess of trouble. Hallelujah. God bless you, children. I love you with all my heart. Let's sing it together as we go. Pressing on, something down inside of me is pressing on, won't let me stop, Lord, pressing on to the higher calling of my Lord. God promised Elijah,